Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Q4 FY22 earnings conference call of City Union Bank, hosted by Ambit Capital. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Ajit Kumar from Ambit Capital. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to 4Q FY22 earnings call of City Union Bank. On this call, we have Dr. N. Kamakodi, MD and CEO of the bank, and Mr. V. Ramesh, the CFO. We will start with the opening remarks from the management side first, and then we'll move over to the Q&A. Over to you, sir.
Good evening, everyone. Dr. Kamakodi here. Before starting, looks like there is some technical disconnect and all. If we get disconnected, we'll be joining back. Just for it may take a few minutes and all, kindly wait. Hearty welcome to all of you for this conference call to discuss the audited financial results of City Union Bank for the fourth quarter and the financial year ended 31st March 2022. Board approved the results today, and hope you all have copies of the results and the presentation. The board had recommended for a payment of dividend of rupees 1 per share, that is 100% of the face value, rupees 1 per equity share of the bank, the payment of which will be subject to the approval of the shareholders of the bank during the coming annual general meeting. As you might have seen from the numbers, the COVID is finally over. Things are back to pre-COVID level almost on all fronts. We hope that the impact of Ukraine war on the economy won't extend indefinitely. But for this alone, everything else seems to be under control. On the management side, RBI has approved the appointment of Shri M. Narayanan as the non-executive part-time chairman of the bank. Shri Narayanan is a chartered accountant by profession, had assumed office as the part-time chairman of the bank, effective from 4th May 2022, in the place of Shri R. Mohan, who had successfully completed his tenure of 3 years on 3rd May 2022 as approved by RBI. Shri Mohan joined the board of the bank on 27th June 2022 after completing his 8-year term as director of the bank. Shri Narayanan joined our board on 3rd May 2016 and served many committees, including that of chairman of audit committee and all. He will serve as non-executive part-time chairman of the bank for 2 years as per the approval from RBI. Also, we had the Professor Dr. Veenadhan Kamakoti, Director of Indian Institute of Technology, Madras, had been inducted into our bank board as additional director with effect from today. He had already served the our bank's board from April 2011 to April 2019 and also served as the chairman of Information Technology Committee in the past. Being a professor of computer science, he will add more value to the bank in the improvement and development on technology front. He completed his cooling period, and he is also a member of National Security Board as a part of NSA team. On performance side, we shared with you all following expectations for financial year 22 during our earlier conference calls. We had said that we would be achieving mid to high single digit credit growth for financial year 22. We closed financial year 22 with a double digit credit growth of 11% or so. We had said that gross and net NPA percentage for the financial year 22 would be lower than that of financial year 21. Our gross and net NPA percentage has come down below that of financial year 21 as on 31st March 2022. We had said that recovery operations were back on full swing following the full functioning of courts and all. And we said we could even see collections more than the slippages. Our Q4 recovery is rupees 277 crore, comprising of 211 crores from live accounts and 66 crore from technically written off accounts, crossing the Q4 slippages of 221 crore. This is the highest recovery happened in any quarter in the history of our bank. We had earlier said that ROA to reach the level of pre-COVID ROA of 1.5% towards the second half of the financial year 22-23. The current quarter ROA is at 1.4%. We are on track to achieve the ROA of 1.5% sooner. The highlights of financial performance for FY 2022 are as follows. Deposits recorded a growth of 7% from 44,537 crore to 47,690 crore. Credit grew by 11% from 37,021 crore to 41,156 crore. Business grew by 9% and stood at rupees 8846 crore, that is 88,846 crore. As on 31st March 2022, CASA recorded a growth of 20% to 15,529 crore from 12,981 crore, and the CASA percentage to deposit improved to 33% in financial year 22 from 29% in financial year 21. Net profit increased by 28% from 593 crore to 760 crore for the entire financial year. Net profit for the Q4 22 is at 209 crore, which is the highest in any quarter. For the first time, we had crossed 200 crore PAT in a quarter. Had the COVID not happened, probably our annual net profit we should have achieved somewhere closer, even in the financial year 20. The impact of COVID delayed that achievement by maybe about 2 years. The return on assets stands improved to 1.35% in financial year 22 for the year as a whole, against 1.15% in financial year 2021. And for the fourth quarter, it stands at 1.42%. Net interest margin for the Q4 financial year 22 is standing at 4.01% and 3.98% for the financial year 22. I understand after the publication of the results, we got a few calls saying that their calculations shows a different number. Basically, the net interest margin, what we calculate and declare, is basically the daily average basis. If you calculate on a quarterly basis with the available numbers, the numbers may show some aberration and all. The net interest margin is stable for the fourth quarter at 4.01%, which is calculated based on daily average basis. The gross non-performing asset is at 4.70%, and net NPA is standing at 2.95% as on 31st March 2022, both sequentially reduced by 51 basis point and 49 basis point respectively in the fourth quarter. The progress made so far is even better than whatever we had expected and communicated with you all in the past. Until third quarter, we were growing only through gold loans and ECLGS, as there was less confidence on general economy. With improvement in economic situation, we started to push for growth in a slow and steady manner starting from fourth quarter 2022. During the last con call, we stated that we could see improved credit growth and we look beyond gold loan and ECLGS. We will continue to push for credit growth and we should be having low to mid double digit growth for financial year 23 also. There could be, as always, quarterly aberrations and all, but overall annual expectations, we should be having low to mid double digit growth for the current financial year. Out of 4,135 crore credit growth for financial year 22, we got rupees 2,463 crore growth came from the gold loan. In fourth quarter financial year 22, out of 2,769 crore credit growth, only 834 crore, that is about less than one third actually came from gold loan, and 1,935 crore came from other regular advances. We hope to see the similar trend for the year as a whole, but there could be always quarterly aberrations. The slippage during Q1, Q2, Q3 in the financial year 2022 were at 482 crore, 297 crore and 275 crore respectively, which is a steady decline from first quarter to second quarter to third quarter sequentially. As expected, the slippage for fourth quarter continued with the same trend, and it was at 221 crore. which is much lower than the earlier quarter. We had also stated that we will be reaching to a level where the recoveries will be more than the slippages. As explained earlier, Q4 total recovery surpassed the slippage during the quarter. We hope the recoveries will show improvement in the financial year 2023 also as a whole, though there could be quarterly aberrations. As explained earlier, in Q4 22, we recorded a total recovery of 277 crore comprising of 211 crore from LIO accounts and 66 crore from the technically written off accounts compared to 228 crores comprising of 186 crore from LIO account and 42 crore from technically written off account in the third quarter. The current quarter recovery being the highest in the interest in the history of our bank, surpassing the Q3 recovery by 49 crore, and still we expect this to improve from here. For financial year 22, the total recovery was 794 crore, consists of live recovery of 606 crore and collection through technical return of accounts were at 188 crore against rupees 221 crore from the live account and 103 crore from the technically written off accounts during the financial year 2021. We expect that this trend will continue going forward in the coming quarters. The improvement in the recovery coupled with the reduction in the slippages will make more significant contribution to the ROA improvement in the coming quarters and coming years. During our last con call, we had briefed about the status of airline company SpiceJet. We wish to provide an update on the same. The cash credit account of SpiceJet was not renewed and we had recalled the advances and they should have been classified as NPA on 2nd May 2022, that is Q1 of the financial year 22-23. Even though they are continuing to service the interest amount, like say since we have recalled the account, if the the 90 days default means it becomes NPA. But SpiceJet had filed a case against the bank before the district magistrate Gurgaon, insisting that their account should not be classified as the NPA, among other things, since they are paying the interest and all such things. In the meantime, district court had issued an interim stay for classifying the account as NPA. Till third quarter financial year 22, we had earmarked a contingent provision of rupees 40 crore and we made an additional contingent provision of rupees 45 crore in Q4 22, taking the total provision available to 85 crore for this contingency against a total outstanding of let's say 100 crore. So the account is not NPA on 31st March 2022 because 90 days had not passed. And even now, though the 90 days had passed because of the court injunction, we couldn't declare it as an NPA, though we had decided to build the contingent provision, keeping that in the mind for future. As said already, we have a fixed deposit collateral for this entire amount, which is into few technical issues as discussed in the third quarter conference call. So we don't expect any loss for on this front, though we may have to briefly declare it as an NPA provided. And once the technicalities and all are taken care of, this provision will be reversed in the future quarters and all. So we wish to make a contingent, keep a contingent provision allocated for that. Overall, outstanding balance of borrowers who availed ECLGS as on 31st March 2022 is 14,366 crore as against 13,644 crore as on 31st December 2022. ECLGS portion on 31st March 2022 is at 2,656 crore. SMA 1 and SMA 2 portion as of 31st March 2022 was rupees 213.95 crore, that is 1.49% and 68.41 crore, that is 0.48% respectively. So only 1.49% and 0.48% in terms of SMA 1 and SMA 2 respectively. All these accounts are continuing to repay their regular term loans, term loan installments, as there is no moratorium given to them for their regular installments. As at 31st March 2022, about 1,913 borrowers amounting to 2,184 crores remain as restructured category, of which the repayment started for accounts amounting to 1,308 crore, constituting 60% of the restructured book. Remaining 876 crore, the repayment is yet to commence. Out of those accounts where the repayment demand has not yet started, that is out of that 876 crore which are still under moratorium, accounts with about 59% of the outstanding, that is 517 crore, have already started paying their monthly installments in advance before the commencement of due date for more than 3 months, and 24% outstanding, that is 210 crore, have already started making installments before the due date for 1 or 2 months, leaving only 17%, that is 149 crores of this 876 crore, which are effectively availing the moratorium and waiting for the due date. The outstanding portion of SMA 1 and SMA 2 is rupees 249 crore and 138 crore respectively, for out of the total restructured advances of 2,184 crore. Overall, restructured portfolio currently stands at 5.3% against 5.74% in the third quarter. We have discussed many times about the SMA 2 numbers, which used to be in the range of 5% to 7% during the pre-COVID days, which have got reduced to 3.04% in Q1 22, 2.59% in Q2 22, and 1.98% for Q3 22. The current SMA 2 figures further got reduced to 1.36%, which includes account from ECLGS, restructured advances, and also regular advances. As stated earlier, overall improvement in the economy post-COVID, as well as the constant follow-up and monitoring efforts which we took in the pandemic period, has resulted in the reduction of SMA numbers. We have to wait and see if the economic uncertainty caused by the Ukraine war, whether they will have any impact on all. Hopefully, we feel we should be able to tide over that period also. During our Q3 con call, we stated that we do not foresee any significant contribution from domestic treasury profit due to unfavorable yield movements. For Q4 22, we had a trading profit of only 11 lakhs. For the full financial year, it was 62 crore against 232 crore in financial year 21. The treasury profit on the whole declined to 246 crore for the financial year 22 against 309 crore in financial year 21. The present changes in the monetary policy is leading the yield movements to upwards, and we may not have favorable income from the domestic treasury operations during financial year 2023. Till such a time, other income will be compensated to some extent by the improved recoveries. At the same time, the proper management of duration, we expect minimum mark-to-market provisions for AFS HFT going forward. In fact, during this period of increasing yield, the treasury management was very tight. So we did not increase our deposits. We ensured that the deposits were, the further augmentation was restricted. That's why we need not go for government securities so that which could on that 150-200 basis point increase, whatever that has happened from the lows, which could have probably created MTM losses in the AFS and all, we have to greater extent managed well. Also that we had low cost borrowing which we used in the integrated treasury, where we had opportunity to make profit in the integrated treasury. So we are trying to manage it in such a way that, we will be getting the best return out of that, taking into consideration the changes in the yield movement going forward. Cost to income ratio for Q4 22 and FY 22 respectively were at 37.49 and 40.37, as against 49.17% and 41.72% in Q4 21 and financial year 21. The operating expenses had sustained at the earlier year level, and on the other hand, increase in suit recoveries has improved the other income, which had resulted in the marginal reduction in the cost to income ratio. because of the expected poor profit from the treasury, cost to income ratio for the current year may slightly get elevated to 42 to 45% range. Capital adequacy of the bank stood at 20.85% for financial year 22 and 19.52% for financial year 21. We have not diluted any capital or issued any fresh shares in the last 7 years. And the last time we have raised the funds was during July 2014 through QIP route to the tune of 350 crore. Rest all issue of fresh shares were through, wherever the conversion of ESOPs to employees. Higher capital adequacy ratio is mainly because of the growth from gold loan, which carries zero risk weight. For financial year 22, we have earned an insurance income of 21 crore against 16 crore in financial year 21. Apart from LIC of India, we have identified 6 more partners for doing bank assurance business on all life insurance, general insurance and health insurance and things like that. After the tie-up, gets better, we could see an increased contribution from the bank insurance income going forward. During the last quarter, we had opened about 23 branches, taking our total branches to 727. We are planning to open another 50 to 75 branches across different states during the current financial year. The operating profit of the Q4 2022 was 440 crores compared to 299 crores during the corresponding period last year. For financial year 22, it stood at 1,595 crore against 1,468 crore in financial year 21. The total provisions made during fourth quarter 22 was 231 crore against 188 crore in Q4 21. For financial year 22 year as a whole, total provision was 835 crore against 875 crore in financial year 21. The net profit for the financial year Q4 22 and financial year 22 was at 209 crore and 760 crore against 111 crores and rupees 593 crore for fourth quarter 21 and financial year 21. For the for the first time, we have crossed 200 crore PAT in the quarter. If COVID had not struck, this should have been achieved in the fourth quarter and year as a whole, financial year 20. The net interest margin currently stood at 4.01% for Q4 22 compared to 3.72% in Q4 21. The net interest margin for financial year 22 stood at 3.98%. And it should stay around the current level plus or minus maybe 10 to 20 basis points. The margin is very stable. So we will be shortly increasing our rates both on loan book side and also on the deposit front, for which the calculations are already underway. The margin is by and large stable. We had for the financial year 2021 it was 4% and the current year is 3.98%. The first quarter it was 3.86%, second quarter it was 4.03%, third quarter it was 4%, and the fourth quarter it was 4.01%. As I told you, the calculations are based on the daily average. So if you do the quarterly average, your numbers may look different. This is the number which we file with the regulator. So the margins are pretty much stable, and we hope it will stay around in this range in the foreseeable future. With the contribution of improved recovery management coupled with the reduced slippages, we hope that we will achieve 1.5% ROA as soon as possible, as we have been stating in our earlier conference calls. Already for the fourth quarter, it has crossed 1.4% ROA. So for the financial year 20, we closed with 1% ROA over and above that which we took as the COVID contingency provision, and it improved to 1.15% for financial year 21 and 1.35% for the financial year 22, and in that fourth quarter it is already above 1.4%, and it should be inching towards the 1.5% for the going forward is what is we are expecting. On security receipts front, the outstanding is at 143 crore. As at 31st March 2021, we have received a payment of 54 crore in financial year 21-22, and the outstanding SR for 31st March 2022 stood at 92 crore. We hold a provision of 64 crore against the same. At peak level, we had a security receipt to the tune of 375 crore as on March 2015, and we recovered about 205 crores from that. The recovery rate once again had been about 60-70% basically from that SR portfolio also. During the last con call, we had discussed in detail about the latest digital initiatives, whatever we are taking, like neo banking initiatives, open banking, introduction of contactless payments solutions through wearables, CUB EC Pay, CUB Keychain debit card, and CUB Fit Watch debit card, and offering application programming interface API, looking into partnering with IBM and all. Also, we have launched on cloud and all. We are many of our data is already on the private cloud. So we are waiting for cloud and all, how the industry will go, looking into the latest developments in the regulations and all. We have also launched fixed retail platform for customers, for which they can now finalize the buying selling rates themselves. Apart from that, the submission of import LC application is enabled through the net banking, so that the convenience is improved for the customers. The credit card is one missing product in our offering. We tied up with SBI Cards for giving co-branded cards to our customers. Unsecured credit had not been our core strength in the past. We feel that it is time to launch our own credit card, at the same time having eye on the risk appetite. The general consensus is that the ratio between debit card and credit card issued by the banks is 3:1 or so. We are currently having about 26 debit cards, meaning that our customers should have around 9 lakh debit cards. You might have also observed some of our peer banks who are not having their own credit card have tied up with the company for giving credit cards and all. In the meantime, we received a proposal from a company called 42CS, led by Mr. G.G. Srinivas and team, which had managed credit cards for multiple banks in India and other markets in the past, and mentored by Mr. P.R. Seshadri, former MD, Karur Asia Bank. We are exploring the possibilities of having them as the third-party service provider for the bank, providing the technology and operational services on the profit-sharing basis. We will start slowly and steadily covering our existing customers. Final nitty-gritties on the profit-sharing and risk-sharing and other operational guidelines are being worked out. Soon, we will be linking the variables the credit card as well, so that customer will be keen in using more of them, availing all benefits through the credit cards and all. I want to re-emphasize there is no change in our risk appetite, and we will be extremely careful in building the business. And I want to be very categorical about it. So all the discussions and all are going on, and we will be taking a call shortly. As suggested in the earlier calls, we are trying our best to be on par with the best in terms of our digital initiatives. And you might have seen us being the pioneer in many digital initiatives like robotics, wearables and all. You can be rest assured that we will do everything to be on par with the best. We are not making any big fuss about it. It doesn't mean that we are outdated in digital and all. So I am repeating the statement since we are not talking too much about it, when I discussed with a few from the analyst community and all, I understood that this was a perception in the past. That's why I spoke at length about it during our second quarter conference call. So I just want to make sure we are at par with the best, and we are continuously working on that. So no need to worry about that, and we are continuously demonstrating that we are trying to be at par with the best on that, and we whatever latest we are continuously evaluating, and whatever changes we are ensuring that we also one of the leading banks in terms of the digital initiatives. I have explained about that in detail in the past, and that's why I'm not getting into the details now. To sum up for financial year 2022-2023, the COVID is behind us, and hope uncertainties of the Ukraine war will not last indefinitely, blocking this, the positive outlook, whatever we are seeing now. The credit growth for the financial year 22-23 should be lower to middle double digit. The expected overall slippages for the current year should be in the range of 2 to 2.5%, which should be getting back to the pre-COVID level. I am talking about the annualized slippage. The slippages should come down from the current level, which is 3% plus annualized, and should improve from the current year, resulting in the gross and net NPA significantly reducing to reducing by the year end. The net interest margin to stay around the current level, maybe plus or minus 10 to 20 basis point as discussed. We are working towards reaching the ROA level, pre-COVID ROA level of 1.5% plus as quick as possible. The cost to income ratio should hover between 42 to 45% because of the absence in the treasury income. So we have, consistently ensured that, all the efficiency and profitability parameters are intact. The COVID, had some surprises and all, and the entire episode is now behind us. So hopefully going forward on growth front, on efficiency and the profitability parameters, asset quality and all, things should be pretty good. As I explained with the numbers and all, the asset quality is pretty, the stress levels have come down, as I explained, the even SMA2 numbers, whatever we are seeing, substantially lower than whatever we saw during the pre-COVID days, which includes ECLGS, restructured and other regular advances. Things are looking good. The only uncertainty is the economic impact because of the Ukraine war, the way it has impacted the oil prices, or the changes in the policies of exports of agricultural commodities, cotton or steel, whatever things that are happening. But we hope all those things will not extend indefinitely, and the year should be good as we move forward. With this opening remarks, I open the floor for questions. Over to you all.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and 1 on your touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and 2. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Rohan Mandora with Equirus. Please go ahead.
Good evening, sir, and thanks for the opportunity. I missed the comment around treasury income that you gave, because as per presentation, we have around 50 crores of income booked. So you can just repeat that. What was it for 4Q, and how are we looking at for FY23 in terms of what will be the period and March and unbooked MTM gains and losses on the investment book? That's one. And the second question would be...
We'll go one by one. So what is that number you want exactly?
Yes, sir. So treasury income, what was the comment that you mentioned for 4Q income? Because as per presentation, that's a 50 growth profit and 15% year-on-year growth.
See, so, the point what we are trying to say is that from the domestic treasury income will not be available. Whatever the income, the 50 crore which is booked, is coming from the integrated treasury. When we take money from here and invest in the, overseas deposits along with the, arbitrage opportunities and all, through the forward contract and all. So the going forward, whatever profitability we had in the domestic treasury, we will not be having. So the way how we the point what we are trying to say is, we had like say if you take the financial year 2021 on securities trading from the domestic treasury, we had 78 crore in the first quarter, 51 crore in the second quarter, 103 crore in the third quarter, and only 12 lakhs in the fourth quarter. Overall, we had 233 crore from the securities trading. Against that, in first quarter current year, we had 49.66 crore, 10.95 crore, but in the Q3 and Q4, only 1.38 crore and 0.11 crore, which means 11 lakhs. The overall profit from the domestic treasury is only 62 crore against 233 crore, whatever we had in the last year. So this is the opportunities from the domestic treasury is declining.
Sure, sir. And sir, here any quantification on what will the MTM gains or losses which are unbooked as of the yields right now?
It's up to 31st March it is booked. Post 31st March, it is still in the single digits.
Okay, sure, sir.
Nothing much to worry about. Yeah.
Sure. So, second question was around with the raw material inflation that we are seeing recently, are there any pockets of the portfolio which would see an adverse impact on asset quality? And also, if you can comment on the cotton / textile portfolio, because the cotton prices have increased and there were some strikes in Tamil Nadu against that.
See, the cotton prices, the market has already started and it was a short-term spike. So, these sort of things, they happen. Only thing what we have to continuously ensure is that they don't, build a huge stock at high cost and they get into the mark-to-market losses. So far, we have not come across any situation currently during the last 6 weeks or so, because of the erratic movement in the raw material cost, both in steel and cotton.
Sure, sir. And then lastly, there's a sharp increase in the borrowing in second half. So almost two-thirds of the incremental funds have come from borrowing. And while, sir, in the commentary you indicated that deposits we are not taking just to ensure that we don't park in investment. So if you could explain why the increase in borrowing?
We had some opportunities on refinancing from the financial institutes at a lower interest rate, and we had opportunities to make arbitrage through the forex market in the integrated treasury. That's the increased that only explains you that 50 crore whatever that is being made. So that opportunity was utilized, and when you get the fixed term refinancing facilities, you don't have the headaches of SLR and CRR. And whenever we see opportunities, this sort of arbitrage opportunities, we actively use this as our integrated treasury policy. That's how we had, whenever we were told that we had eligibility for the refinancing, at the same time we were able to link it with the integrated treasury thing, we had utilized those opportunities.
Sure, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Prashant Kumar with Sunidhi Securities and Finance. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity, sir. And congratulations for the good set of number. And especially on the OPEX side, the bank has performed very in a controlled manner. And on the last call, as you have mentioned, as a continuation, what is the status of the migration to CTC basis remuneration structure? And also, the branch has increased, the number of branch has increased by around 25, but at the same time, in last 1 year, the employee number of headcount has decreased by around 500. So if you could give some color on this.
Yeah, as I explained during the earlier conference call, the CTC remuneration is starting only from the July 2023. So we are about 1 year away from that transformation. And basically, as I told, during the COVID, the digitization and utilization of alternate channel by the customer, it increased manyfold. During pre-COVID time, we had about 12% of our transactions going through the branch channel, and it suddenly got reduced to 4 to 5%. At least the internal operational load came down by as high as say 1/3 or so. So, and we conducted a time and motion study and found out surpluses there, and we ensured that whenever the attrition happens and all, we did not refill, which has resulted. We identified about 700 to 800 such positions and all. So now we will be, once again, we have now understood what is that and all. So going forward, taking into, so we did not go for campus interview for 1 year and all. We reduced our fresh intake in the last financial year. But this year, we will be back. But whatever cost advantage we have received to greater extent, they will be continuing.
So on continuous and on the same, are you going to hire or in a new digital era that is going that already has been started? So are you going to hire on that way, new young generation and on sales side actually?
We had specialist and all. Last year we had one senior level person who joined from IBM, to be the part of our systems technology department and all. Basically, the thing is almost for the last 5-6 years, bulk of our recruitment are through campus interviews, and particularly from the tier 2, tier 3 management institutes from the Mohsal areas and all, who are reasonably skilled in the modern level digital initiatives and all, tech savvy people. So we had aligned these sort of requirement in the skill sets over a period of decades, and that's why we were able to achieve whatever progress on digital and alternate channel front, whatever we have done, and we are conscious of this and doing this exercise on a continuous basis.
Okay. On the one other question on the provisioning side. Are you going to improve further on PCR ratio and at considering restructure book and other some stress book like that?
See, the answer is yes and no. On one side, we have already said we have identified one account even before it becomes NPA. We are building the contingent provision and all. On the other side, about the other regular book, as I have been repeating for many years and all, our recovery rate is about 60 to 70%. So yeah, we are comfortable. I mean, I'm talking this number taking into account the technically written off book also. So we are comfortable. We feel 40% provision coverage ratio will cover the entire losses, and 60+% whatever we have is more than enough. So with that in mind, we don't if you had a chance to look into our last 50 quarters and all, our coverage ratio had always stayed between, taking in consideration the technically written off book, 60 to 70%. 70% also we went only when it came as an RBI dictate. Otherwise, we are comfortable with 60 to 70% as we have done in the past, and we don't have any specific thing because we don't feel any need for that.
Okay. Thank you, sir. That's it from my side.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Mona Ketan with Dolat Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi sir, good evening, and congratulations on a good set of numbers. So firstly, there has been some reclassification from corporate to SME. So what is the average ticket size of this corporate book that has been moved?
Please repeat the question.
So there has been some reclassification where corporate book has moved to SME. Some corporate book has moved to SME, correct? So what is the average ticket size of book that has moved from corporate to SME?
Yeah, it is basically based on your, earlier RBI circular, where
right.
the definition of micro, small, medium and all were aligned in tune with the SME Act. So these, you had a turnover and all, you had the fixed assets and all were taken into account in the earlier classification. So those things have now become the part of turnover currently, and based on the registration in the Udayam portal and things like that. So whatever exposure, say for example, enappa 20 kodi range idu maruma. Turnover 20 kodiya. See the gray area would have been in the range of turnover of 20 crore.
Okay.
Those accounts will migrate, because earlier the classification was based on the fixed assets, and now the changes became through the turnover and as per the MSME Act. So the overlapping portion will be in that range.
Okay, and what would be say a range of the ticket size for these accounts that have moved? If you could give me a broad sense.
Yeah. If it is 20 crore range. The accounts with 20 crore turnover, they should be having say 3 to 4 crore of cash credit, or maybe 5 6 crores of exposure or whatever.
Okay, got it. So which were earlier lying in your corporate?
You can't give an exact number for this, because it is the total change of definition. Some
right.
accounts they may be fulfilling the criteria of fixed assets but taking higher exposure or lower exposure. So the measurement definition itself changes, but you can broadly take this as a thumb rule or a broader number, but you can't have this as an apple to apple basis.
Got it. And so what was the earlier classification for MSME? I mean, was it based on ticket size? Or was it still based on turnover, but that has changed because of RBI?
Earlier it was investment in plant and machinery.
Okay.
So there was dichotomy between the RBI definition and the MSME Act's definition. They have now aligned. I don't have the exact numbers with me. You can very well check up with the circulars which are in the public domain.
Sure. I got it. Secondly, how is the pricing environment in the MSME segment? Because while we saw some traction in the growth side for SME this quarter, if I look at your yield and yield on advances, it continues to remain suboptimal versus your own history. So earlier, you know, one of the reasons you had cited was that because growth is coming from agri gold loans, that is impacting the yield. But despite traction here, we are not seeing. So how is the pricing environment?
See, even now, one-third of the incremental advances in the fourth quarter is from the gold loan, which is below the average yield size. So we were going in the decreasing interest rate scenario, and that's why the 30-40 basis point reduction in the yield has happened through the cycle. So the interest rate will start moving upwards with some lag. So maybe 1 or 2 quarters, this amount of interest rate movement will go southwards before it actually goes northwards. In fact, I told you that we are contemplating increasing the yield for the existing portfolio, both on deposits and advances, from the current level. The pattern is that whenever the increasing interest rate scenario happens, the yields for the asset side corrects quickly, and the yields for the cost side for deposits, it goes through a, particularly on the term deposit, it has a lag effect. So with that context, we should be looking into the cost and yield at this point of time.
Okay, but at your end, you're not seeing any irrationality in the pricing environment?
The I won't say that there is no pricing pressure. Okay. There is some pricing pressure, but not to the extent that it is being, asked by many of your peers as if big thing is happening and, it is crushing things and all. These 15-20 basis point per quarter changes and all is of the past, in tune with the, interest rate cycle movement and all. Those pressure we are always seeing. And I would rather say that this time, whatever pressure we are seeing, it is even lower than the pressures what I have seen in the earlier interest rate cycles.
Okay, got it. And just finally, what would be the share of EBLR linked loans in your book?
Itnapa 60% EBLR linked. 70. I understand it is 70%.
Okay, sir. Thank you so much and all the best.
Yeah.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Nikhil Agarwal with VT Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello. Hi, good evening, sir. Thank you for taking my question. First of all, congratulations on a very good set of numbers. So my first question is that with such good recoveries and reduction in slippages and write-offs, so what would explain the huge increase in the incremental provision for bad debts?
So I explained about the contingency provision because of the we have for SpiceJet, for which we have already made 85 crore, which is the one of the incremental things which we have taken.
And for the non-performing assets, as in the 115 crores that we've seen in this quarter.
Yeah, it is basically that's what I explained to you. I have to also keep into account the reduction of net NPA percentage. So the having the recovery, more than the slippages, and also the incremental provisioning, only slowly and steadily brings down your net NPA percentage. The net NPA percentage came down by 20-30 basis point because of that. 50 basis point because of incremental provision.
Okay, sir. Thank you. So another question is, with regard to the new accounting scheme that is not including the recoveries from technically written off accounts in the income line but the provision line, when are we planning on implementing that within the next quarter?
Which one?
Sir, the accounting effect that is not taking the recoveries from technically written off accounts into our income line.
No. Income from the technically written off account, there is no change. Because it is not
and
in your balance sheet. No. The live recovery will change, which we have already incorporated.
Okay. And
see, the technically written off account, the old accounting continues, even as per the latest RBI guideline.
Okay.
For live NPA account only, we have already incorporated that.
Okay, sir. And sir, with regard to investment depreciation, will it continue to be seen in other income?
The investment depreciation also, it is already, we have, it is as per the existing guideline only.
Okay, sir. So, from the ECLGS number that you have mentioned, 14,366 crores, how much of that has already been classified as NPA?
See, the 14,000 number, whatever you are seeing, is the total exposure of all accounts who have taken ECLGS.
Correct.
And the ECLGS portion per se is only 2,000 odd crore. And the total NPA, even that is there in the disclosure, Onam Shampar. NPA that has happened from the, if you ask the specific number and all, I have to take out. Exact number full and easily, it is there in that ECLGS 1, which is the maximum one, other the disclosure, SEBI declaration.
Sir, it's okay, sir. With the total number would do, sir. I don't want the bifurcation, sir.
The number to greater extent is there. The exact, these sort of data points, you can get in touch with Mr. Jayaraman, whose numbers are already given in the presentation.
Sure. Sir, with regard to the increase in yields that you just mentioned in advances and deposits, So would it be able to quantify any kind of impact that we will be seeing in our books in the coming 2-3 quarters?
Please repeat the question.
Sir, with regard to the increase in rates, that we are looking at, that we are anticipating in the loan book as well as deposits, is there any quantifiable impact that we can anticipate right now for the coming quarters?
See, the I will give you the pattern whatever we have seen in the earlier interest rate cycles. Say whenever we increase by x basis points, you will be in a position to see in the next full quarter about 50-60% of that x percentage increase getting transmitted into the system. On liability side, for the term deposit side, it normally takes one full year to see the entire impact of the cost.
All right, sir. So one last question, sir, with regard to the unsecured lending and credit cards. So till now we haven't focused on unsecured lending per se. But going forward, what proportion of the portfolio would we be looking at in terms of unsecured lending? And is there any timeline in place for the credit cards tie-up that can take place? When can that happen?
See, basically, the as I told you, we are not changing our risk appetite or whatever it is. Even I mentioned about a few of our peers who have gone with other companies and all, the credit risk is basically taken by these providers. So they give the bank bank guarantees or deposits to the tune of X percentage of the portfolio or whatever it is, and the revenue is shared under the that proportion takes care of this share in the bad debts also. Theoretically speaking, the final risk we are taking, the company alone comes into, we are not getting into the unsecured lending at all, directly. Theoretically, there is a one buffer in between in the range of these companies who are providing this service. This is at this point of time. We are not anticipating any major change in the risk appetite or whatever it is. We are looking into the nitty-gritties. Probably some clarity will emerge when I discuss with you the first quarter results.
Sure, sir. And sir, credit cards, is there any timeline in place as to when we can see that happening?
Before our first quarter results.
Okay, sir. Thank you so much. Best of luck for future quarters.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Renish Vua with ICICI Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi sir, and congrats on a great set of numbers. So sir, just two strategic questions, nothing related to Q4 results. So sir, in terms of the cross-sell and upsell, I mean, since we are almost a 100-year-old institution and almost 80% sort of having the sole customer base, so sir, where do we stand in terms of cross-selling and upselling to the existing customer base?
Honestly speaking, though the results are not to the full potential, things have already started, and we have infused these things over a period of time. The larger the convergence will happen after the migration to the CTC basis. As I told you, the I also discussed about my numbers in the my LIC business and all. We are one of the reasonably top players from the LIC's point of view in terms of the bank assurance partnership and all. And we have already finalized tie-ups with a couple of other life insurance companies. And we expect the further initiatives on that insurance. Yeah, Ranish, just to continue, we have started this cross-selling and all few years back. And as I told you, we are one of the important bank assurance partners for LIC of India. And we are also finalized tie-ups with a couple of more insurance companies, which will also be improving the income from the insurance and all. Similarly, on the investment side and all, we have made tie-ups online, and we have communicated for sale of mutual funds and things like that and all also there. See, basically, the all these things will culminate, and this is basic DNA level changes which will not happen overnight. The incentive structure and all will get drastically different when we get into the, because the our current system, we are not able to make full justice to the efforts of cross-selling and all. But once the CTC thing comes over a period of time, the both, the way the system thinks and all will also undergo a change, and it is a process. We are on that.
And
at the same time, I am also very clear that the cross-selling, upselling things are may not, impact your ROA more than 10 basis points and all. Overall, the importance given by the system on that is disproportional to the contribution to the ROA. So we hold that, but at the same time, whatever that is incremental thing, we are okay with that, and we are making those changes on a continuous basis.
Got it, sir. Got it. And sir, just a follow-up on that. So, embark in this journey of cross-selling, do you foresee, we need to brief up the management team who can lead this journey? Do you foresee any incremental investment to set up, whatever technological gaps we have, if any?
Those things are already happening. We have recruited at a middle management level and product head level people from the new generation banks which have experience on all these things. Those things are already in place, and investment in technology is also happening on a continuous basis, and the results have started coming, and even though it is at a suboptimal level, we are seeing growth over there. The optimum utilization will start, it will improve as we move forward.
Got it, sir. This is very helpful, sir. Just a last question from my side on the product bucket we have. So, of course, we talk about the credit card product, but is there any other product gaps where you feel we might need to get into, over next 6 to 12 months?
See, the timeline I cannot immediately say. Once this things settle, probably the concept of wealth management and all, in whatever way it is possible, some tie-ups will be needed, which will also be forming the part of thing. But on technology front, requirement of the customer front and all, we are continuously evaluating what are all the services given by the other new generation banks. Any new product or services which is given by other banks, we are taking steps to, get into our bouquet as quick as possible, so that from the customer side, they will not be having any, feel any gap or whatever it is. That exercise, say for example, I spoke about the Forex thing or LC opening and things like that and all. Those things we are becoming, when we learn that these things are getting offered and all, The banking has become a commodity business, and whatever your other players give that, we should catch up those gaps and all, which we are continuously doing.
Right, sir. No, that is very much appreciated, sir. Thank you so much for a detailed answer, sir, and best of luck.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Jay Mundra with B&K Securities. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Congratulations and thanks for the opportunity. First, sir,
Come closer to the mic, please.
Yes, sir. I was saying, sir, on your growth, is this any better, sir?
Pardon?
On your loan growth, sir, you had in your opening remarks, you had mentioned low teen to mid teen kind of a growth, low to middle double digit kind of a growth. If you can bifurcate, sir, between gold loan and non-gold loan, do you think gold loan, which has grown by around this year, gold loan has grown by around, 35% plus. Would this continue or this should moderate?
See, the we have a saying in Tamil, what is called as Nai Vitta Kasu Kulakade, meaning the money you got from selling the dog won't bark. We are happy with getting our profitability business from any business line wherever the opportunity is available. See, the thing is, I will be like trying to grow my, what I can say philosophically see is that the proportion of non-gold loan will increase going forward. See, it is not something like that I start immediately pushing things and all so that tomorrow onwards I am changing the direction. We never do such things whenever we take a path. So we will continue with the, gold loan growth. We will look into the opportunities. We will look into other risk parameters, gold price, all such things. Simultaneously, we will look into the, we had reservations about growing the non-gold loan business, which is now not there. We have already started slowly pushing for that growth. The alignment will take a few months. Once that alignment comes, the reorientation will start, and the growth from the regular loans will start picking up. So the we have already started seeing that in the fourth quarter, and normally the first quarter we will have all sort of transfers things and all. It is little bit slow. It will things will once again start from the second quarter. But the gold loan should not be having any impact because of these sort of aberrations and all. So we will see how things move forward. I can only directionally say in the current financial year, the proportion of non-gold loan growth in the overall credit growth in the financial year 22-23 will be more than whatever we saw in the financial year 21-22.
Right. No, that point is well taken, sir. When I look at growth for this year, if I exclude gold loan growth, right, then the non-gold loan portfolio has actually grown at around 5%, whereas the total growth is 11%. In the last one or two quarters, you have been indicating that gold is slightly opportunistic.
Yeah. In fact, I have also told when I spoke today, the growth from the non-gold loan is almost 2/3 in the fourth quarter, and the growth from the gold loan is only 1/3. That is also I spoke. So I am keeping all the, I don't want to restrict myself to gold loan or non-gold loan. I am keeping all the options open. What I am again and again saying is that going forward, I am incremental opportunity in the non-gold loan compared to whatever I saw in the earlier couple of years. As in the earlier couple of years, I was not very comfortable. I have taken my legs off the growth pedal. That reservation has now seems to be over as we are out of that COVID mindset or whatever it is. Depending upon the opportunities and depending upon the potential, as we see, we will be growing. And the opportunities on non-gold loan looks higher compared to whatever we have seen in the past. That is where I want to stop. More than how much it happens, quantitatively all this happens, we have to wait and see.
Right. And secondly, sir, on the growth again, so you mentioned ECLGS linked borrower loans is around 14,300 crores, roughly. Now, a lot of these people would have got accelerated disbursement, and do you think that there could be more than normal repayment in this portfolio? What do you think could be the behavior of this borrowers? Would they accelerate repayment, or would you be having similar growth outcomes in this book?
As I told you, almost 80% of the people here have started their repayment ahead of their due date, which I have already shown that. So it will be there, no doubt about it. Whenever I project a growth rate of low to mid double digit, I have taken this also into my consideration before giving you the expectation.
Your numbers is fairly okay, sir. I wanted to understand from a system level also, this set of borrowers should see lower than normal growth, right? Because they would have some accelerated repayment.
Yes, I have taken that into my account when I said our growth rate will be low to mid double digit.
Sure, sure. Understood, sir. Secondly, sir, on your liability strategy, so compliments to you. It looks like CASA growth has been very strong and much stronger than your previous trends. And term deposit have been very, very contained. So just wanted to check, sir, what did we do differently in the last, let's say, 1 or 2 years to drive this CASA growth?
To answer your questions more honestly and upfront, the percentage CASA increase is more than the actual growth rate in the, let's say, CASA. The important reason is our pricing strategy on containing the term deposit growth. So we, we make some calculations on the expectations of the asset growth, and then we start our liabilities. This is the way we work at it. So we ensured that, we repaid some bulk deposits and all such things, and we ensured that the rates are at a level that, there won't be any negative growth. At the same time, there is not extra positive growth which will make us to once again invest in the government securities and lose on the mark to market and things like that. So it was a tightrope strategy which we normally run.
But in absolute terms also, sir, the CASA growth is good. The SA growth is much stronger than, previous run rates.
I won't say much strong. It is as strong as ever.
Understood. And last thing, sir, on your restructured book, sorry if I may have missed it, how many of those loans are also out of moratorium and they've started repaying? You said about ECLGS, but on
sir, restructuring also I have told. Maybe I said that with more clarity than ECLGS, but anyway, how it goes is that, out of restructured portfolio of 2,184 crore, about 1,308 crore have already started their repayment. That is, 60% of the loan book has already started their regular repayment has started. For the remaining 876 crore, that is, of that, about 59%, or 517 crore have their regular repayment has not started, but the due has not started, but the 59% or 517 crore have already made monthly repayments in advance before the commencement of their due date for their more than 3 months, and 24% of that 876 crore for which the due date for repayment has not yet started in restructuring advances, they have already paid advance installment to the tune of 1 or 2 months, or they have already started, which means only 149 crore or 17% of the restructured portfolio currently are effectively still availing the moratorium, and in the overall restructured book, both, where repayment had started and repayment had started, the SMA 1 and the SMA 2 portion is 249 crore and 138 crore respectively. And overall restructured portfolio currently stands at 531 crore. So you can make a note of this number. You can also, if you want more, you can, for the data points, you can get in touch with the Jayaraman. Otherwise, this same presentation write-up will be there in the website sooner, you will be able to get these numbers clearly.
Sure. No, very helpful, sir. Yeah, those were my questions, sir. Thank you and all the best.
Thank you. The last question is from the line of Darpin Shah with Haitong Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks, sir. A couple of questions from my end. First, again on growth. Over the course of the call, a few times you have mentioned that we are back to pre-COVID levels on various things. So why still we are talking about mid or a lower double digit kind of a growth? We have already done that in FY22.
See, the point is that the things are improving. So we hope the current year will be definitely better than the last year in terms of the growth. Some uncertainties because of the Ukraine thing and all are also there. Keeping everything into account, definitely we are now accelerating. This is what we expect. If help us, we may even, what I can definitely say is that I will not restrict my growth because I said you mid to low to mid double digit. If things are becoming conducive in the thing, we will try to take it further. So we are keeping all the options open and the positive mindset we are able to see. So we hope we will be improving from whatever we were, wherever we were in last financial year and move forward. This is what I am trying to say.
Had roughly around COVID related provisions of 40 crores. Out of that, 10 was marked towards the airline exposure. So that 30 crores of additional COVID provisions still remains. We have not utilized anything during the quarter.
No, we are not utilized. We as I told you, 30 plus 15, 45 crore in the third quarter we have. Okay, 40 in the last quarter and 45 in the current quarter. We have got only 15 unprovided, and that too even before account actually becoming bad.
So that was clear, but I was asking about the additional 30 crore which we had in terms of COVID.
They just stay there.
Okay. Thanks a lot, sir. And all the best.
Yeah, if anybody else in the queue, you can take. We need not cut at this point of time to Ambit team. Anybody still in the queue?
No, sir. No one in the queue. A reminder to participants, if you want to ask a question, you may press star and one. So we don't have anyone in the question queue, sir.
Okay, go ahead. Yeah.
So as there are no questions, I now hand the conference over to the management.
Thank you, Ambit team and Ajit and Alexey Kuresh, everyone who made this conference call possible. And thank you all the analysts and investors who are participating in this thing. So as I just want to reiterate, almost all the stigma of COVID is virtually behind us. Things are turning positive, and we are looking for further things from over there, and hopefully the the things also support the economy, even the global trends and things like that. But overall, we are positive about what we will be achieving in the financial year 22-23. Hopefully, as done in the past, we should be in a position to as in the past we were able to fulfill all the expectations whatever we shared with you. Even in the current year, we expect that we should be in a position to, by God's grace, fulfilling whatever things we have been sharing with you all. Once again, if you have any doubts or any data point and all, you can get in touch with Mr. Jayaraman, whose number is there in the presentation. Thank you all, and hopefully we should be having better financial years, giving better ratios. Thank you all.
Thank you. On behalf of Ambit Capital, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.